We're doing the Sefer Masiyot, and we left off where Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi couldn't contain himself anymore, and he finally asks Eliyahu, he says, okay, tell me the secrets. And Eliyahu says, now that I understand you're going to leave me, I'll explain to you everything, and I'll tell you the secret and the root of everything I did. I want you to know, Eliyahu tells Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, you remember that poor man who took us in so well the first day we were traveling? Well, that very day, his wife was supposed to die. We came to his home on the day his wife was supposed to die. And when I left his home and I prayed that the cow should die, I was praying, God, let the cow die instead of his wife. So it's true, from the guy's perspective, if you think about it, he walks out and sees the cow dying, he says to himself, I just did a big mitzvah, I don't have any money, and I did a mitzvah, and this is what I get? The answer is, yeah, this is what you get, this is good for you. Yes, Eliyahu says, I prayed for his benefit. And I saw that if he has a wife, he's much better off. He's going to have a much better life with her than with a cow. You know, good news, makes sense, right? So I prayed that that should be the case. That wealthy person, the next night, who didn't treat us, he didn't respond to us, treated us like we don't exist. So I saw that the wall that had fallen in his house, within that wall, someone who had lived there before him had hidden a great treasure. And if he would go and rebuild that wall, so then he'd find that treasure. And I didn't want him to have that. He didn't deserve that treasure. So I made sure that wall was built. Don't worry. In a short time, the wall will fall and it won't be built and he won't find the treasure. But at that point, he would have found the treasure. So you're right, what I did looked like I was doing something good for him. But really, it was to his detriment. You remember that city where they said water and salt is enough for them and they weren't interested in treating us at all and they're all sitting on gold and silver thrones? So I prayed that they have many leaders. That's because the worst thing you could have is a congregation with many leaders. Everyone argues. Everyone feels like their opinion should be accepted. A place that has many leaders is ultimately destroyed. You remember the people I prayed should have only one leader? That's the best thing they could have. If you have one leader, you could have one direction and the people can grow. You don't have to have arguments. You have one leader. You don't have to keep changing the directions of the community. And that's why people often say, if you have too many captains, then the ship's going to sink. If you have one leader, you can inhabit a city. So it was their benefit I prayed for when I prayed they should have one leader. Eliyahu said, I'm leaving you. And so I want you to understand something. If you see a wicked person, and he seems unusually successful, don't let your desire get the better of you. And don't wonder what's going on over here. Because you will see, or you might not see, but I'm telling you that it is ultimately to his detriment. And if you see a righteous person who spends his life suffering, and he's working hard, and he isn't managing financially, or you see him afflicted physically, don't be upset. Don't let your desire overtake you and doubt your Creator. Align your thoughts and your heart with Him because He is righteous and His judgment is righteous. And He looks at how people behave. And we can't tell Him how to run His world. Remember, He knows what He's doing. And they greeted one another and they wished one another peace and Eliyahu went his way. Rav Nissim Gaon continues and says, there was once a sage who really couldn't handle what he saw in the world. And he left the way of truth and he denied the basic principles of Judaism because of the seeming contradictions he saw in the world. That man was named Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. We call him Elisha ben Avuya, but he was a great sage. Oh, yeah. So Elisha ben Avuya was a huge Talmid Chacham, and one day he was traveling and he heard a man tell his son, son, go up to that nest and bring me the young chickens that are there, the young doves that are there. And shoo away the mother as Hashem commanded Moshe because I like eating young doves. And the Torah says that he who scatters the mother, who chases the mother bird away, leman yitav lach ve'arachta yamim, for doing this mitzvah, he will have longevity. Also, kibbut aveim, he who honors his parents, also it says will have longevity. Elisha automatically thought to himself, yeah, Hashem promised those who honor their parents and do their mitzvahs to have longevity. And whoever shoos away the mother bird will have longevity. So these great mitzvahs that Hashem promised longevity for, undoubtedly, the child who is in the process of doing both at the same time will merit that blessing. And the lad was swift to climb the tree. He was happy to do what his father asked him. And he was happy to perform the mitzvah. He climbs up the tree to the nest. He takes the doves. He shoos away the mother. And he starts climbing down the ladder. And the ladder breaks. And he falls to the earth and dies on the spot. And Elisha looks at the kid incredulously and says, where's the longevity? Where's all the good God promised this fellow? Elisha was stunned to the point of fainting, and he said, it's not only about the resurrection of the dead. It must be that there is no wages here. There's no one who's doing an accounting. It must be there's no point to everything we're doing here. And although Elisha was a sage, Elisha left the fold of the Jewish people because he didn't know a very important fundamental point. He didn't know that the pasuk which says you'll have longevity is talking about a world to come, a world where there's no end to the good and the pleasantness of the world. As the verse says, it will be good for you. It's talking about a time when there is true good. As our sages said, longevity is talking about a world that is all about longevity. Good is talking about a world that is all about good. Elisha ben Avuya left everything. And when the rabbis saw that, they burnt everything he wrote. They didn't want any of his Torah. And a heavenly voice was heard saying the verse from Jeremiah, the verse from Yirmiyahu, Shuvu banim shovavim. Repent, you sons who keep sinning. Chutz ne'Elisha ben Avuya. God, so to speak, was saying, I want everyone back except for him. Now, Elisha ben Avuya was so great that he was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir was so great that Rebbe prided himself in the fact that he had seen Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe adopted Rebbe Meir's version of Mishnah as the prototype, the basis around which Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. So one of the greatest Tanoim that ever lived was Rebbe Meir, and his Rebbe was Elisha ben Avuya, this famous Elisha ben Avuya. And we gave him the name Acher, the other one, because he left the congregation of Israel. And about him, the verse says, Te'alamna siftei shaker adovrot al tzadik atak. May the lips that say lies about the righteous one, may they be muted. Who's the righteous one? That's God. And who's speaking lies about him? That was Acher, Elisha ben Avuya. Rebbe Meir continued learning by Elisha ben Avuya. And the Talmud questions, how could he learn Torah from an apostate? And the Talmud answers with an allegory. Goes back and forth, and the Talmud finally says, if a person finds a pomegranate, he doesn't say, because it has a peel, I'm not going to eat it. He discards the peel and eats the seeds. Rabbi Meir said, I'm discarding the peel, I'm discarding the lies, and I'm taking the seeds. When Elisha ben Avuya passed away, the rabbi said, we refuse to believe. We cannot believe that Elisha ben Avuya will inherit perdition. He is such a smart man. He reached such heights. We can't believe that he is going to perdition. Hell. And we cannot believe that he is going to the Garden of Eden, because he sinned and he denied that there would ever be the resurrection of the dead. He said there must be no wages, there must be no accounting for what man does after he dies. And Rabbi Meir said, when I die, when I leave the world, I will show you smoke coming out of his grave. You go look at his grave after I die and you'll see smoke coming out, because I want him to burn. He has to have atonement for his sins. And after that, he will go to the Garden of Eden. When Rabbi Meir passed away, truth to his word, smoke started coming out of Elisha ben Avuya's grave. Rabbi Yochanan was upset at this. Rabbi Yochanan was upset at a disciple who says, when I go to the world to come, I'm going to burn my Rebbe. And Rabbi Yochanan said, we had a man in our midst, one of the rabbis, and we couldn't save him from being burnt. We couldn't do anything better to ensure that smoke doesn't come out of his grave. Rabbi Yochanan said, I want you to know, when I'm going to die, I'm going to put out the smoke in his grave. And when Rabbi Yochanan passed away, the smoke ceased to rise from Elisha, Acher's grave. And so when they eulogized Rabbi Yochanan, the eulogy went as follows. Even the gatekeeper couldn't hold you back, Rabbi. Meaning, you were able, when you passed away, you went straight up to make your claims, and there was no delay, no gatekeeper, no guard. You went straight in like an honorable person before the king who doesn't need special permission. No one could hold them back, and so too you, when you got up there, you right away asked that Elisha's smoke be put out, and they did what you asked. So, says Rav Nissim Gaon, a person has to look at what happened here. We have a sage that Rabbi Meir learned from, that Rabbi Yochanan cared about. We have one of the great Tanoim, one of the great sages of Torah, and he was able to so easily cross the line and deny the basic concepts of Judaism and ultimately end up in perdition. So a person has to realize that this is a challenge. We can't take it for granted that we're going to be able to live with the questions of life, but rather a person has to work on his desire, on his inclination to go the route of Acher. And a person should not wonder if he sees a wicked person successful with wealth and honor. He should know there is righteousness and it's honest. Hashem is honest in his ways. And that's what King Solomon alluded to when he said, Se'et p'nei rasha lo tov. To honor the wicked isn't good, King Solomon said. What was King Solomon saying? It's not even for his benefit. When he's getting all the honor, it's not to his benefit, because he doesn't realize that ultimately, instead of the wealth, he will be hurt, and perdition waits for him for eternity. As our sages taught, Lo tov l'rasha'im shenosim lehem panim ba'olam hazeh. It's not good for the wicked that people honor them in this world, because they have so much wealth, they don't bother doing mitzvot. They don't bother doing charity. Everyone honors them just for the fact that they're so wealthy and powerful. And then they end up leaving the world naked from mitzvot, naked from good deeds, naked from kindness. They leave the world as naked as they were born. They came to the world amidst darkness, they leave the world in darkness. And our sages said about this concept two allegories. One of them, our sages said, it's like a thief that enters the king's treasury, and he sees a lot of wealth, gold and silver, and he takes everything that he chooses. And then it comes time to leave, so he's about to leave, and then he sees something else that's better. So he puts down what he picked up, and he picks up something else. He's about to leave, and he sees something better than that. He puts down this what he's holding and goes to take that. And that's what he's doing. Every 5 minutes, he says, I gotta go. But then he sees something that's even better. All night long, he's doing that till suddenly, hey, it's getting light. The guards are gonna catch me. He runs for his life and he leaves without anything. And he weeps. And he says, I risked my life. I entered the king's treasury. I found so much precious things, and I left empty. I wish I would have taken some of it. And as much as he regrets what he did, it's too late now. That's the way the wicked are in this world. They pass from the world, and they're left without anything. And then they look back and they say, I could have done tshuva, I could have done so many good deeds. But at that point, it's too late. And the second allegory is the famous allegory about the fox, which we'll pick up with in a few minutes.